All right, yes.
For Y E for years. P E people have said have W O wondered why I K keep having this D this dude on the show. My S T my stock S T O my story was he K E kept C H changing his name. So I T H thought he it or he was a different act. But he K E he kept being the S A the same D the same dude. S so I G A I gave him a N A I gave him a name D A da A R the artist W I with A Z artist with a Z. But he has C H changed the D A the duh to T H. What he thinks I am that S that D that dumb. But the R E A the real reason is that he is on the show a lot is he is my S E second S E C secret S O N son.
Thanks, Pop.
He F I N he finally A S D he finally A D admitted it and R and T O O took his G O L gold T O O tooth O U out.
Lost it.
Oh, so now you guys have
like thanks, Pop, like for son. Noticing.
D A duck A R artist or what ever he is called at the moment.
Whatever at this moment. Introduced by Pops, Frank Moore.
Put your motherfucking fence up.
Shout out to everybody on my brothers and sisters over here at lover.com. These are the songs inspired by the Exotic Erotic campaign. Check it out.
Throw it up.
Everybody in the party put a finger in the air and wave it all around like you just don't care. If you ghetto, USA. Yeah, if you ghetto, USA. Look, it don't matter where you're from, we all can go dumb. And if you see a gun, there's no need to run. If you ghetto, USA. If you ghetto, USA. Nobody pumped me to be on a bullshit compilation or a whack-ass record deal situation. I'ma get my points, and them killers know better than tell somebody who walk on snow without a sweater. I show up flow better with something to say. From the underground originated right here in the Bay. Yes, the O-A-K, L-A-N-D, Castle Plain E. And it's not my fault, I stay dwelling in the vault. To say it's fame, to take the blame. Hollywood like, why you here? What's your name? But this debate, why the city like that? Even if it is where the money is at. So why you rap? To give girls to rock jewels, playing the wall in the club like a fool. But play the fool and take a loss. It's not my fault, I stay. Everybody in the party put a finger in the air and wave it all around like it just don't care. If you ghetto, USA. If you ghetto, USA. Look, it don't matter where you're from, we all can go dumb. And if you see a gun, there's no need to run. If you ghetto, USA. Yeah, if you ghetto, USA. It's not my fault, I stay dwelling in the vault, using cause and effect, and success is the result. A hell of a networker, not a girl twerker, selling CDs like crack, who got a rack? Now can't ain't manage this product bandit, CDs in thin air, who the hell cares? I'm everywhere and nowhere at the same time, always with a different album when I'm on my grind. I got old albums selling just as much as the latest one, selling all the greatest one is yet to come. Now how I bum, fool? I bum first, plan, plot, strategize in every single verse. Shit, you need to rehearse, cause I done earned my keep. The lyrical beasts who reside in the east. Any replacements of mine could get lost. It's not my fault, I stay dwelling in the vault. And everybody in the party put a finger in the air and wave it all around like it just don't care. If you ghetto, USA. Yep, if you ghetto, USA. Look, it don't matter where you're from, we all can go dumb. And if you see a gun, there's no need to run. If you ghetto, USA. If you ghetto, USA. Now while we fall back, we're going to get into another one. We just going to keep them coming, keep them coming. So many different flavors. The artist called whatever. Archives, Kenny J, Total Package, all that good stuff. I use isolation as a tool so I won't act a fool and kill these dumb fools trying to test my cool. So consider yourself schooled, but I want to see you perpetrating the leader of the slackers in a master play. So I'm staying out your view cause I know what to do. Keep you in a bird's eye view cause you not true. But what has been still isn't this my method to manage. So stay away from me cause I'm not feeling for your sadness. Busters. Yep.
Stay the fuck away from me.
So call hustlers.
Stay the fuck away from me.
Outsiders.
Stay the fuck away from me.
So call riders.
Stay the fuck away from me.
Now I could do bad by myself, so it don't matter to me. I use the map to reach and crush you ever challenge me. The studio is where I need to be. I'm puffing on the L. Looking inside myself and the right to make this record sell. But with you in my life, you I'm bound to just fail. It's like taking penitentiary chances of landing in jail. But I thought I knew you. But I can't judge a book by its cover, and your lover could be a damn crook. Of your happiness, snuffed you out and waste your life. You see blood, I see blood, we're getting cut by the knife. But what has been still isn't this my method to madness. So stay the away from me cause I'm not feeling for your sadness, yo.
Busters.
Stay
the fuck away from me.
So-called hustlers.
Stay the fuck away from me.
Outsiders.
Stay the fuck away from me.
So-called riders.
Stay the fuck away from me.
Yeah. I want to give a shout out to everybody that was at the show here in Berkeley last night. Special shout outs to Triple, Av, and Very Click for performing with a fella. And big, big shout out to my other mother, Soul, for 104.1. Much love. Kenny J said that. All right? We're going to keep it going. We're going to just keep changing up all kind of flavors. I had so much to write, Frank. So I had so many different songs. It just kept going and kept going. Hey, hey, hey. All this stuff is getting ready to come out, but on different albums, y'all. So fall back for all the fans of the artists known as whatever. Just fall back. I got you. I got you. A lot of albums to come. Check it out, though. Hey, y'all. I'm bailing in with Chucks and a meat mug. Hating on weed scrubs and wannabe thugs. All the girls in the club looking for love. Having one night stands. It's time to give Barack Obama a hand to run the nation. No waiting, we ghetto USA. I've been that way since they called me Kenny J. And motherfuckers, I'm not changing. Underground for life, never bringing the same thing. I know the game changed. No more OMTV raps, no more rap city. So your ass was after that. Are we falling off? Hell no, don't end up with a swell jaw. Hip hop artists be down by law. Uncut, raw, rap, dancing, breaking DJs and graffiti. I never had to try to be, it's within me. Please, Hip Hop Nation, don't give it up. Bag up off the bling and get back to the love. I see fake gangster rappers in the track. Get nervous, you know why?
I'm just scratching
this. I see ladies in the club looking for love. Get nervous, you know why?
I'm just scratching the surface.
I see bad politicians on a mission getting nervous, you know why?
I'm just scratching the surface.
I see marks in the park at the dark getting nervous, you know why?
I'm just scratching.
That's why. In the place number 8, most dangerous city. The town with clowns who show no pity. Killing for nothing and for something, stop frontin' before they body bag you, you little fags, you. Carjacking in Jersey, yeah, you heard me. There's no money flowing, we all hungry and thirsty. The bad economy has become a me. And they still in Compton banging B and C. Stressing the street life is just a stereotype that we feed into, but we gon' change that, right? Bull, I use the N-word, you say me neither. But you got a white girl, how I'm supposed to believe you? Or the fact that I'm light-skinned denies me fighting. Then brother, please explain why Malcolm X is like that. Dumb shit like that, keep blocking the real things. At the end of the day, we are kings and queens. Trust fake gangster rappers in the track. Get nervous, you know why?
I'm just scratching the surface.
I see ladies in the club looking for love. Getting nervous, you know why?
I'm just scratching the surface.
I see bad politicians on a mission getting nervous, you know why?
I'm just scratching the surface.
I see marks in the park at the dark getting nervous, you know why?
I'm just scratching
the surface. That's why. Crazy breakdown.
I haven't seen you on screen.
Anybody ever seen the movie Deep Cover and know what this is about?
Oh, nah. Nothing.
I know Oakland.
Nah.
Archive wilding out right now. Doing all the different stuff. Current stuff, past stuff, in the future stuff, stuff that never came out, all inspired by the Exotic Erotic campaign, yo. It's a triumph, cause I'm living it. I don't trip on shit. So when you're talking fast, they about to whip your ass or rob you for your cash and not cause the hit, dude. Cause Oakland, California is a city of snakes. Pimps, pushers, players, and fakes. But make no mistake, we some setup artists, breaking down any fool who sweated the hardest. So wouldn't it be smart if you did protect your grill? You don't wear a helmet when you leave home. A bulletproof beanie, it's hard to believe me. Thought we was playing it to blood, she was lying in. The same shit you're dying in, your mom's is crying in. Your funeral service, you up your family get together. The test a hitter, you should've known better. That's when they come out the cut, they wet you and get you. I got 100 G's on it, tell me any G's want it. Cause I'm the type to give a killer something to do. I got 100 G's on it, tell me any G's want it. Cause I'm the type to give a killer something to do. I got 100 G's on it, tell me any G's want it. Cause I'm the type to give a killer something to do. I got 100 G's on it, tell me any G's want it. Cause I'm the type to give a killer something to do. Dude, let's talk about me.
Who me?
The A-R-C-H-I-V-E-Z, he, to whip your ass till your eyes turn purple. Whether you thug or you soft like Urkel, so put your game face on cause it's over. No good luck from a four-leaf clover. I told ya, now look what happened. This is real, this not just for rapping, man. Y'all gon' make me catch another case, a slap in a bust straight dead in his face. With a dose of reality through fatalities, cases of insanity from the man and me. On the cover of Billboard, the cover of Vanity, a demon little buster was made to see the light. Don't even fight back, I drain your life force. You're not that tough off at all, what you lying for?
I got 100 G's on it, tell me any G's want it. Cause I'm the type to give a killer something to do. I got 100 G's on it, tell me any G's want it. Cause I'm the type to give a killer something to do. I got 100 G's on it, tell me any G's want it. Cause I'm the type to give a killer something to do. I got 100 G's on it, tell me any G's want it. Cause I'm the type to give a killer something to do.
It's true, it's true, it's true. Yeah, we're gonna just keep it going, man. This song I want to dedicate to all of you, because in 4 years, y'all know we got to do the same bullshit all over again. We got to vote. So this song is called Voting Stuff. I'm just telling you a little about the inside life, my personal life. Yo, yo, the truth is the youth is fucked if they don't grow up and vote and stuff. Because we, because Frank, because Linda, because Mike, yeah, yeah, the truth is the youth is fucked if they don't grow up and vote and stuff. Local Rowdies, The Glitch, and Kenny J do. Yo, I'ma take it like it is if you don't feel me. Lesbians hate me, white boys wanna kill me, police drill me. All y'all put too much on this group of men, y'all claim do too much. We just trying to live when the ends define the means. Cause everybody hate a brother getting his green. Now in this country they want me, though they don't want me. Want me around to learn from me, to get money now. Even mama agree, they want a son in penitentiary. This country hate his black men, can't you disagree? And the women show their ass out, go the cash route. A bunch of little girls trying to get cashed out, but pussy don't run a roll, it just get bought to real pimps. You can see when you see a real boss, the archives go off when his brothers are stuck to young black men. I pray and wish you good luck. Yo, the truth is the youth is fucked if they don't grow up and vote and stuff. Cause we, cause Frank, cause Mike, yeah, that's what we do, y'all. The truth is the youth is fucked if they don't grow up and vote and stuff. Lovercum.com, Linda Mac, yeah. I walk around the time, all the time on my grind. Try to get me rap, but I ain't paying no mind. They said you gotta play to play, but that's tricking. Always put it out there, that's how I'm living. I can't afford to fake it, it's like I'm naked with my thoughts. And then them CDs get bought, you analyze, no lie. Then I make another LP this. But try to sell me a dream in America. I'm thinking past the music, that's what I'm telling ya. I hustle for money, but I don't hustle people. We all bleed the same, so I guess we equal. Like some people don't feel like to hear somebody surreal on the mic tonight. But this the type that's known to carry you through. Cause how you really keep it real is being true. You hear me, you? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Vote and stuff, cause Frank, cause Linda, cause Mike, and Kenny J do it too, yeah. The truth is the youth is fucked if we don't grow up and vote and stuff. Cause she, cause he, cause they, cause we, and yeah. They say the truth ain't gonna be televised, but it is, cause the hip hop nation is still alive and kicking, trust that. Even right here in the Bay Area, we gonna keep the conscious stuff coming, the gangster stuff coming. the stuff that don't make no sense, the bling rap, all that crap. It's all hip hop. Yeah, yeah. It's something real current, right? I feel like it really would fit into the mix of what we was doing. It's called The Realist. And The Realist is just another perspective. Kind of like the last one where I just get into being a black man right now. And yo, do you have supposed to go to jail, die, and go to hell? All because you want every black man to fail? It's not realistic to be a statistic. Archives in the booth, spitting the realist. Thinking outside the box when we rock. I'm almost famous now, so keep the props. Michelangelo, SF, one of the best in this industry underground. Don't get clowned if the style is fresh. No need to vest. Feeling like I don't want to be held back from progress. All hell the sound Monte Carlo is putting down. And I'm only being humble when I boot up blessed. Numb your heart and yank you for the personal. Not for when I kick your verse for you. Now who runs the game? The Archives, the Heat. The horn in the area and we can't be beat. They call it a cold blue for acting brand new. So if you're talking negative, yo, goddamn you. We body slam you. But what's the point? People dying of oil. Where's they voice? Speakers speak. Actors give action. You gotta say, Bush don't care if any reacting from broken promises. Cops on the tick. Criminals run our neighborhood. No mistake. Criminals run our government, no mistake. Got you thinking everything that you see on the news is fake. Maybe so, and maybe not. Blood's transferred to other countries to the block, but we the realists. Yeah, see, it's all about the people that want to make a change, that stand for change, and do something to make a change. Not just the people who talk about it. And see, Frank, my pops Frank Moore, he making a difference. So now he got me out here making a difference, inspiring me to do stuff like this and say what I say and get heard, and word spreads around and then action follows. So yeah, you gotta talk and then you gonna get action. But long as you get action, and let's focus on the action, not so much of the talk. You know, stand for something or die for nothing. Real talk. The artist known as whatever. We gonna keep it going. I got a couple more. Yeah, I hadn't done any mellow ones tonight, right? But I got one, though. This one. I thought it'd be very appropriate. It was inspired. So let's get into that. A little singing, though. Yeah. Tell me what is going on.
What is going on?
That we expect the youth to be so strong. Tell me what I got to do.
What I gotta do.
To get through to you.
Hey
y'all, hey y'all. I was a born loser, not a crack user. Never out of control, even though I sold. Reached my hood goal at 13 years old. Now a grown man, never sold my soul. By 23, reached my pimping status. I got an AA degree of my apparatus. In hustling with music, not the people. We all bleed the same, so I guess we equal. In fact, I know that. And I show that I love all, but yet I'm pro-black. A damn hypocrite, maybe consider it. Being foolish or just childish. It's 2000 now, if we might eat tonight. Came out, they see I never left the mic. Far behind since April 86. If I wasn't getting paid, I'd still do this, y'all. Yeah, yeah. Tell me what is going on. That we expect the youth to be so strong. Yeah. Tell me what I got to do.
What I gotta do.
To get through to you. I remember being a kid praying to God. Why my mother with these different guys make her stop? They all abusive though. Some of them had cash flow. But money don't stop people from being assholes. But to each his own, just keep it out of my zone. By 18, I'm moving out on my own. But that's not after the offer of major label contracts. Monday signed me over, and that's whack. With no reasoning to this very day. I couldn't forever be her little King J, y'all. I had to grow up before I blow up. Even if none of my haters show up. I wanna really rub it all in their face. But it's obvious, it's no more time to waste, yeah. Now in a new state, not always around. From here on out, this is how it's going down. Believe that. Tell me what is going on.
What is going on?
that we expected you to be so strong.
To be so strong.
Yeah. Tell me what I got to do.
What I gotta do
to get through to you. One more game. Tell me what is going on.
What is going on?
That we expect they used to be so strong.
To be so strong.
Tell me what I got to do.
What I gotta do.
To get through to you.
To get through to you.
This is my last one. I wanted to do this the last time I was here, but I have to ask my partner's permission. Because this is my group project. And you know, your group members are important. So I have to get my man's opinion and get his approval to do this. So let's win. Hey, hey, hey. And this was all about the budget right here, right? When that asshole, the governor, didn't sign the budget, I wrote this. Check it out. Yo, no budget, no budget. Why you mailed that school? I wasn't born yesterday. I'm not a fool. Broke like this just may be. Doesn't make me crazy. Not your born hustler. Never known to be lazy. Do whatever pays me. Except my sex for dough. Maybe you should just accept the mad flex on my flow. With a beat that go. Black rage on the stage. I tried to be mellow, then later turned the page. No budget, no budget. How you build that jail? Did the start with Oliver North and then Dan Quayle? Make sure people like took you die in jail. Anything it takes to make the black people fail. This ain't reverse racism, cause it don't exist. Don't pursue material items, please resist. I was born in Dallas, Texas, where the Kennedy got killed. I was raised in Oakland, where the Panthers got built. No budget, no budget, why not sign the budget? The protest, the cuts made to the government. Sad thing, part-time and temporary have to go. But the rich still the rich, so it takes one to know. No budget, no budget, why crime on my resident? Is it really time for us to have a black president? Is it really time for more police on the beat? Will we ever get to see the silence, the violence on the street? They say jobs is down, the times is now. And you can get robbed rapping to a crowd. Hey, I don't make the rules, but I live by them. Show me a boss, I defy him, the head's flying. A rebel through my music, don't make me prove it. If you don't stand for something, you're useless. So as I prove, it's not the case. Money, Carlo, kick some bait. Since this country being broke, seems to be the debate. No time to waste, you hesitate and lose quick. From a galaxy near you, brings forth the glitch. And I'm the artist known as whatever. The total package, Kenny J, archives, all that. Ah, that's my set, man.
I wonder if you need to move forward. Mm. Is that okay to move forward?
Yeah.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
S O so S O R R sorry I G A
gave U L I F L I G light S K I skin you're sorry you gave him light skin S sun it she did L O O look B L A she did look black at the time but U T O O took S H I shit for L I light skin.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. In the South, everybody kind of viewed it as like, well, the black people viewed it as like, well, you know, you're not really black or you're weak, which is kind of crazy because from my understanding, most civil rights leaders was light skin, which is weird. Not all of them, but a significant amount of them was, you know, pretty light. Malcolm X, Huey P. Newton, a lot of people that were light skinned. It's kind of weird, but, you know, it is what it is. Yeah. Especially in the South, it's just the difference in the South, I think, in California, is like it's here. That racism thing is here, but it's more like in the closet, you know? People don't talk to each other about it as much as like in the South and Texas and Alabama and Louisiana. It's like, oh, I hate you because you're this, you know, all that crazy stuff. But yeah, it's all nonsense. But yeah.
In they. Don't do, they don't get that it is what K.E. keeps them down.
Correct. That's the point. That's why it doesn't make sense at all. Not even a little bit. It's unfortunate, but, you know, people are going to be people at the end of the day. My goal is not to, I would love to just be a politician, but since I'm not and I had another direction to take with the music and all, I could still express those point of views on music and try not to be as biased as possible with it, you know, even though there's a lot of prejudice against me. It's like a real big prejudice right now in the Bay Area is like if you're not gay, believe it or not. And I know a lot of gay people and it's crazy because I'm like, damn. So something's wrong with me because I'm not gay? Not to say anything is wrong with somebody who is gay, but now it's not cool to be heterosexual, and that's weird. Like, who's making up these rules? Who's doing this madness?
And the D S U P P R E suppression, no, S-U-P-P, suppressed, the suppressed, then S-U, suppress, the oppressed, is it, then oppress others. those who are oppressed than oppress others.
I would say just break all the TVs and computers and iPods and Discmans for just like a week, but just make them where they can't work for a week to where people would need to talk. They'd have to talk, and then they would understand with more people interacting with people that's not like them. They would understand, like, oh, that's petty shit. A depression is, that's something relevant, you know? If people can't keep their jobs and lose their jobs and lose their homes and the lifestyle that they probably bust their asses to get, you know, for 20, 30 years, and they lose it all because of other stuff that they didn't even have any part in because they were just trying to live their life, that's something to really trip on, I think, opposed to the little stuff. I call it the dumb shit, but yeah, that's how I look at it.
How does the GA gaze thing, how does the gay thing PLA play out? How does the gay thing play out?
You mean like in their scene or their
like
club?
Like the way you were saying that it's not cool now to not be gay, that you get shit for it. Like how does, give us an example of how that message is conveyed to you.
It's conveyed now, like in Oakland, it's like most of Oakland right now is either bisexual or gay. Probably more so gay. And I don't mean just the you know, the majority is black people there, but I mean even the other races that are there, it's like majority of the city is gay or bisexual. Mm-hmm. And each his own, you know, but at the same time, it doesn't mean that I'm not cool just because I don't like men. You know? I'm supposed to be doing a rock star thing, so when did being a musician wasn't cool opposed to being gay, being so, you know, like higher than that or higher than anything else. Like, wow. Yeah. It's just another reason for people not to talk. Another reason why people can be mad at each other. You know, it's just dumb shit, you know, because they bleed like we bleed, you know, and it's a lot of lesbian promoters that book me for events, you know, and that's what I'm saying. I have a lot of people that I'm cool with that are gay men and lesbian women, but at the same time I also see a flip side of it because I'm around it enough to see that it's a biasness there as well. It's just I might as well just be another kind of black to them or something, which is, you know, bananas, but to each his own, I guess.
I have always been a O outsider. I in any subculture that we've moved through or that have moved through us, Frank always is in the position of being an outsider.
I feel like I am too. If they're not calling me an outsider, they're calling me like a rebel because some of the things that I see on the records. But people always like agree like, well, yeah, that's true. You know, they don't ever ban me because of it, but they, you know, it's like I'm outcast because I might say something that another artist probably who has the popularity should say. And they have more people listening to them, but they refuse to say it because I guess they're scared, man. They're just trying to get their paycheck and go home. They don't really care like that. So, who knows?
What about the outsider thing? From your... Well, over the years, we find ourselves in different... We're involved with the poet subculture or the punk subculture or the performance art subculture or the disabled community. Mm-hmm. And in each one of those groups, Frank quickly finds himself in the position of being the outsider. And sometimes, you know, it's like the group is attracted to Frank because of him being the outsider in this other group.
Okay.
You know, but mm-hmm. then he quickly becomes an outsider in that group. Oh, man. I-N-F-L, influence all of the various subcultures, yes, but they're all like this, you know, I mean, it's mm-hmm. it's gone the range from like just overtly like where people will say, just because, this was what a disabled woman said to Frank one time when she was interviewing him for her show, mm-hmm. and really giving him a hard time on the air when the camera was off. She said, you know, just because I have to acknowledge that you were the person that was being an artist before any of the rest of us disabled people even thought of ourselves as people, and you blazed the trail for us to be artists, doesn't mean I have to like your art.
Wow. Yeah.
And or be a r artist, not a and that Frank was an artist, not a disabled artist, not mm-hmm. like a crip. He was mm-hmm. just like an artist. So I acknowledge all that. Doesn't mean I have to like your art. That's like where they actually come out and say it. They, B, A, N, they ban Frank from clubs, like in the punk scene. The disabled community too. And we found that out because there was a guy who wasn't hip to like what was going on, and he was given the role of producing this like the Center for Independent Living, which is like the organization that exists to help disabled people integrate into the community. And they've been around forever. And he was given the position of producing a show about eroticism and sexuality and have it be like disabled. And so we thought, well, Frank Moore's got to be in it, you know. And so he comes to meet with Frank, and Frank said, well, yeah, sure, I'd be happy to be in it, but are you sure? Because he knew CIL had long ago put the word out on Frank that they didn't like his this, that, and the other views on. Well, it started out because when he first moved to the Bay Area mm-hmm. in the 70s, the philosophy for disabled people were, you don't get your friends to be your attendants, like to do the tasks that an attendant would do. You pay someone to be an attendant so that you're independent. Mm-hmm. And Frank's whole thing was, here he moves here with an extended mm-hmm. family, and that's who kind of does all the stuff for him. And he said, you know, it deepens the relationship. It's and there's, rather than having a stranger come in, mm-hmm. you know, have the people that you love and trust be the ones, and it deepens the relationship. And what G-H-A happen when the politically incorrect. So that's mm-hmm. where it started. So this guy says, no, they told me that I had complete carte blanche. I can pick anybody. This was my show to do. Mm-hmm. Frank said, well, you know, okay. And B, O-B, obviously. O-B, R, was the first S, H, O, show that had Crips. Right, this was the show we did in the 70s. It was the first show that had Crips, disabled people, just playing parts. They weren't like disabled. They were mm-hmm. just people that played parts. Mm-hmm. And right, so. So sure enough, the guy calls us back and says, well, you were right. They told me I have complete freedom, except I can't book you.
That's great. Mm,
mm, mm. even, every S subculture, it's the same. The same thing happens. The same thing happens. Yeah.
Hmm.
But you have two. You have M I M O more I N F influence on them. O you out as an outsider.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because when you're in them, they kind of just, oh, you're just one of us. Serious.
You don't P L play the game as an outsider. You're not playing the game.
Yeah. Just making the rules up as you go along, which is cool.
D S so they then S E E C it W O R K work. They then see it work. I working and they can and they A B S O absorb. They absorb it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like what I've been doing out here in the Bay Area for this last decade. Is I've been an independent within a culture of independent record labels and artists and promoters. And a lot of the ideals that I've discussed with other entities in the Bay Area, they try to just use all the ideals just from normal conversation. So I'm thinking the whole time, like, maybe I should have just been getting paid to consult them. I don't know. It's kind of funny, but some people do what they just got to do, I guess. But I kind of do what I want to do.
But how? But when? They. A. B. Absorb. That. It. They. Then. It. Is in there C O N T control no C O N T R T E context. When they absorb it, then mm-hmm. it is in their context.
Mm-hmm.
W H I which L I limits
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it stops fast. Just like the whole thing about older cats in the Bay Area doing hyphy, when everybody knows, anybody that has anything to do with the underground rap scene in the Bay Area, 6 years ago, I was the first person to do it. And it's funny, you know? So now you got these big-time artists here in the Bay Area getting on BET, talking about Kenny J, talking about, oh, he's a hater, and wow. It's funny. It's funny how I influence them. I'm keeping these guys rich. So now I don't talk much to anybody unless I know that you're about to change and you real about what you're doing and you're not really trying to be me and I don't have to feel the need to be you. Those are the people I deal with now because of those type of situations, yeah. So see, local artists, you don't have to have an interview and talk about other people with saying the names because you're giving them play. I'm not here to promote anybody else. So there, you have it. I said it. Take it.
You are getting D-E-E deep in your M-U music. You are getting deep in your music.
Mm-hmm.
It is M-U much B-E better.
I'd have to agree with you. To be honest with you, I'd have to totally agree with you. And I'm starting to hear that a lot more. And I, it might have been two times ago I seen Soul, and she told me that it, people always say this saying so much. As a kid growing in Texas, I would always hear this saying, and it never really applied to me. But I've heard it, and no one ever really had to tell me that. But Soul told me two times ago, I seen her on Telegraph in Berkeley. She said, be careful of the people that are around you right now. Because if you lie with dogs, you'll get fleas. And I really thought about that. Like, what's the real meaning of that? And what did she mean by that? She's just saying, like, whatever you're going for, be careful of people trying to hurt you, you know, and just trying to stop you from even making a difference. It's like, if it's not the government, it's like they got secret agents in music, in art now, to just try to stop everybody from doing something that's different, something that's a breakaway from the norm, to break the monotony, you know? It's like, I'm not even mad at people that are in marriages, because I used to be married, but at the same time, what's really a good marriage, you know? People might get tired of just having sex and missionary, you know? What if they want to dress up in, you know, and add a little bit more spark to it and want to, you know, do voyeurism or something? Not, you know, whatever, you know, it's all good. That's what I'm saying. You know, it doesn't matter. Changing is great, because changing is good, because you can always take everything you went through and come back stronger no matter what. So I totally have to agree with you. Thank you for acknowledging that. Thank you.
It is M O more F I L L I filling. Mm-hmm. The music is more filling.
Mm-hmm. I'd have to totally agree. It's really turned introspective. Yeah. Cause I just released it. It's really a tension reliever right now. Of saying stuff and just leaving it at that. So when I say stuff like, I remember being a kid praying to God while my mother with these different guys make her stop. They all abusive, even though some of them had cash flow, but money don't stop people from being assholes. Because I really went through that. I was beat as a kid by stepdads, you know. And she heard it and she never really made a comment on it because she was there. So she know it to be true. You know, it really happened. But just because, you know, I went through that, it doesn't mean that I'm going to grow up and beat my chick up or, you know, or anything like that. It just means that I went through that and how I can deal with it to relate it, to convey it, to get it off my chest, is to just put it in my music. And it's kind of like it's self-therapeutic, you know, instead of spending billions of dollars on therapy, which I think every person needs right now. Especially that guy that was just in office, that was the president, he needs therapy. And maybe a better education. I said it. And I meant it.
I G O O Googled Frank Moore. Oh, right, because his computer wasn't working and he couldn't do anything else. So he Googled Frank Moore, right. And F found, wow, yeah. I mean, he found this one article that was really, it was an article about punk. It had like a whole section about Frank. B. Wow. U. By. A. G. A guy. That. We. K. That we knew. That we know. That we know. That we knew. At. The. At the time. H. A. Had. A hard time. Because we were like, we were, you know, we were doing our show at the punk club, like once, twice a week for like 3.5 years. So we were very like much part of that scene, and we were the early show. So all the punk bands saw our show, but we were the outsiders, you know, it was like. Everybody was kind of like this, you know. And so we knew this guy. He was, you know, he was kind of known because he had these magazines he put out and everything. And A, about E, X, extremes, like the extreme things, like in culture. Like he's the one that did books about tattoos and piercings. Before they were like the norm, you know, with as popular as they are now.
Okay.
But he always was very weirded out by us, you know, and talked to us, and, you know, people would say, how come he's never included you in one of his books, you guys? And we said, well, you know, he's a little weirded out by us. Oh, how could he be weirded out by you guys? Look at all the books he's written, you know. P. E. People. H, A, N, G, hanging. Right, he was the one that, you know, first introduced, like, the artist that would hang upside down with hooks in their skin.
Ouch.
Fakir Musafar. But, you know, that was, like, this was, like, the beginning of all of that, like, in the 70s and stuff. So, like, he was okay with stuff like that, but yeah. He was weirded out by us.
Ah, man.
And so, and then we found, Frank found this piece. Do you want to see, no, yeah, do you want to see that piece? Because I have it if you want it. Yeah, I could just read that. It's under press, I think, the most recent book. Is there one that has, like, a date that's recent? Might be toward the far side there.
2007.
Yeah.
There's just press.
Yeah, give me the 2007 one and see if it's in there. No, I don't think it's in there. There's the one that's labeled before that.
93.
No, that's press clippings. Try the press book there.
92. Press listings.
No. Yeah, that one right there. Yeah. Oh. They always T okay T R try to M A make you think it you are I N I M, imagining. They always try to make you think it's you imagining it. Which, you know, like, so for like, you know, 30-some years when we would tell people about that, when we would say, you know, the guy was weirded out by us, and they'd say, that's impossible, Frank. You're imagining that. Mm-hmm. And then Frank stumbles about on this. We rest our case. So his essay is called, What is Punk Rock and How Did It Begin? Back in the 70s in San Francisco, life was a lot simpler. The punk rock Garden of Eden, where punk was born in San Francisco, was the Mabuhay Gardens on Broadway, the only venue in town that would dare host punk rock. Why? Because the policy of Dirk Dirksen, who booked the Fab Mab, was to give... there's a picture of Frank with Dirk sitting on his lap up there. Who booked the Fab Mab was to give anyone at least one chance without a preconceived, restrictive aesthetic. The MAB was open 7 days a week with 3 to 5 acts a night, so this was a lot of time slots to fill. This was before the rise of the DJ. Thus was created a nearly anything-goes opportunity for anyone who came up with a live act. No other local club had this booking policy, and this is the reason San Francisco punk started at the Mabuhay. One of the most unusual acts that played regularly through the first years of San Francisco punk was Frank Moore's Theater. They have not gone down in punk history. It is whispered that Frank, along with his wife Linda, who struck me as a kind of Manson girl, headed a commune in Berkeley, and that everyone slept together in one huge bed. Their act seemed a bit creepy. Frank, confined to a wheelchair, had the wizened, twisted little body of a geek or spastic, with flecks of drool on his clothing. He wore a headband with an antenna on his head that enabled him to communicate, usually in arrhythmic shrieks and yelps that were near impossible to decipher. But Linda seemed to understand him perfectly. She was his medium. Frank Moore's group, which looked like Manson Girl Runaways and Social Misfits, enacted bizarre performances incorporating rants, music, and dance that were definitely elementary enough to be punk rock, even though most punk rockers had difficulty processing the act and were puzzled, yet too baffled to show outright disparagement. Looking back, Frank Moore's show truly realized the punk credo of do it yourself, anyone can do it. Because if Frank Moore could do it, truly anyone could do it. He took the do-it-yourself, can anyone do it, punk proclamation, seemingly about as far as it could go.
Damn.
T-A-L, talk about B-A, back. Handed compliment.
I know, huh? Could have just said. I mean, if you felt like that, he could have just said it. You don't have to beat around the bush. Come on, man, give your props. You know, you deserve that much at least. Damn, that's kind of how I feel about this whole hyphy debate crap. You know, everybody knows where it started. They want to say the city it started in, but don't really want to just say that I did it. Let's get over it. Ladies and gentlemen, I did it. Get over it. It was 6 years ago. I did it. Not Mac Dre, not anybody else. I did it. I did it. It's part of my history. It's part of my legacy. Don't try to claim what I did, man. Stop. So stop talking about me, please. You hurting yourself. Stop.
P, E, people do get it. Not the in, not the in crowd, but everyday people do get it.
I have to agree. They do get it.
Like, the N-E-I neighbor, the neighborhood. The neighbor G. Oh, the neighbor guy. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, when Frank was running for president, we always had signs out on our front yard and things. This is all the his policies and stuff there that people could take. So people became more aware of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so Corey talks to the neighbors all the time because he's always around walking. So this one guy who had followed the campaign and gone to the website and read all the stuff and, you know, became more aware of what we were doing, asked, well, what are you guys doing now? L-I-S. Listened, went online and listened to archives from the Shaman's Den.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, was really, he listened to, the one he mentioned was Frank interviewing Amy Allison, who ran for public office in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was really, you know, had a lot to say about that, positive. And he said, yeah, you know what Frank does? And am I going to get this line right? He says he brings the something out in the open. What was the word? Corey, what was that line? See if Corey types it into the chat. The, it was an odd word. I see.
Catalyzes what is usually invisible.
Frank said that Frank. He said that Frank catalyzes what is usually invisible.
Mm-hmm.
And S P E E D speeds things up. Like, that is a V E very what that insight seems like a very astute. Like, for him to come up with that on his own seems like he really, you know, he kind of got it. He got in there, he got it, and he came up with that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an example of, you know, when Frank says everyday people. Mm-hmm. That, you know, most of the time you don't know, you don't hear that. You don't hear people talking like that.
Mm-hmm.
But they're the people that's, you know, see what's going on, and it makes a difference to them. They get it. It influences them.
Mm-hmm.
But the in crowd cannot T-A take T-A talk like that.
Mm-hmm. I think the in crowd is outnumbered. Because who really is the in crowd? What, the Republicans? Who's really the in crowd right now?
In any subculture, there's always an in crowd in any subculture. It's that handful of people who think they're the ones in control and are calling the shots and define what's cool and what's not cool.
Yeah. Or what was cool until they did it, and then it was cool.
But I T-O told that S T O story on A L I S on a list, the story about the punk. No, what's, oh, about the neighbor, right. Right. B. E. Because. B. Y. By. T. E. Because by telling the story, I and S. T. O. Stories like that, it R-E-L-A releases J U juice.
Mm-hmm.
Or F U or fuel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
W H which B U builds on itself.
Mm-hmm.
But some L P some people don't get that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in when Frank was first starting out, when he left home and he was living with a friend in New Mexico.
Okay.
And he lived with her for about a year, and it was, you know, he thought that it was like a comfortable life, but that he needed to put himself out more, not just be safe.
Mm-hmm.
But it was P U R pure C O M M U N I community where you lived with Louise. It was pure community, really a base in many ways for the rest of your life. And the W H O whole A R R A R E, the whole area and in Santa Fe at the time in the 70s was pure community.
Hmm.
And then I moved to M, Massachusetts, to A, C, O, M, M, U, N, commune, W, with W, H, I, which I, Q, U, I quickly realized was not that, but I am R, F, L, E, flexible. So he hung in there, and he lived there for I guess almost a year. Yeah. G O got married to someone he met there. And then they left the community together. You moved out of the community together. But many years later, with the internet and everything, they tracked everybody down for like some reunion thing they were going to have. So we didn't go to the reunion, but they started like this listserv group.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really one of the most dysfunctional group of people I have ever seen in my life. And apparently this is the way they were, you know, when they lived together too. And A, G, A, again, I was the outsider.
Dag.
So, from the beginning of this listserv, Frank has been the one that they give shit to. And a lot of the time it's because this really kind of sums it up. I'll read you. This is the email he just got from one of the people that, you know, saw herself as on his side. This is one of the, like, good guys. K, E, E, keep in mind, it is about that S, T, O, R. It's about that story that we just, this is referring to that story we just told you about the neighbor who had that comment about what Frank does. Mm-hmm. Hello, Frank. You know I've been a supporter of your sharing in this forum, but I must agree with Susan with your latest post. It really didn't contribute anything to me as your friend and reader. Most of us have no idea who were the people whose mundane conversation you quoted. In addition, I could care less about what others think of you. I care about the relationship I had with you in yesteryears and the sharing you do with me nowadays. I love your wits, your defiance, your tenacity, and your creativity, which you shared abundantly with this forum in the past. From the moment you decided to run for president, however, your entire interaction with us has been one of self-promotion instead of sharing inner self, at least so it occurred to me. The campaign is over. Obama won. So now, can we have Frank back?
Man. Dag. Man. Now that's keeping it real. Heavy.
In one, it was not A, about me. Oh, the piece that you, that thing about the neighbor and what the neighbor said wasn't about you, like self-promoting. He was T, talking about what happened in the W O R in the work. He's talking like in other words, he's saying that, like, when he said that you're a catalyst for the hidden, that should be something that would be of interest to someone who is interested in kind of truth being revealed so that people can live closer with each other.
Absolutely.
You know, so she could have looked at it as like, wow, that's great. You know, that was his experience, that anything would make somebody feel that way. So it wasn't like Frank was like in there, you know, promoting himself. He was more like saying, look at what the work is doing. This is like somebody had this experience. Isn't that cool? Isn't that great? That is how they see our I cripple the art. That is how they cripple the art.
Trying to limit it. Maybe it's a government conspiracy. I've been trying to shut down hip-hop since the beginning. I think it's a government conspiracy. I'm just brother conspiracy today. But it just seems that way.
M O most A R most art O I S most artists would T A take that comment from the guy or from her from no the comment that the neighbor made, her comment, personally.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would limit what the artist then did.
Mm-hmm.
I don't take it personally. I don't S C the A, R, the art, as my, as me. I don't see the art as me. Some, Frank Moore, is just A, B, A, N, D, no, B-A-N, no, it's just a B, a brand name. Frank Moore is just a brand name.
Hmm.
Not me.
Mm-hmm.
So, when somebody says something like that, what Carol said, or even the neighbor, I don't R T A take it A as like about you.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. I hear you.
But I you I use it.
Mm-hmm. That's real.
It, she, don't realize, I will use it. She doesn't realize that you'll use it. Because, you know, if you took it personally, it would kind of shut you up. Mm-hmm. That would be the mm-hmm. end of it. Mm-hmm. You know, you'd mm-hmm. be ooh, like that. Mm-hmm. So she doesn't realize not only is he not embarrassed by it, but he's out reading it on the radio and talking about it. Yeah.
Everybody's entitled to, and they are entitled to their opinion on things, but at the same time, we have to acknowledge what it is. And if it's something good that can come, some change can come out of it, we have to acknowledge that as much as her opinion, you know?
So, like, in, like one, like one, time, A, C, R, I, critic. Oh, is this Linda? Oh my! Well, she was like a biggie, you know. She was like a publisher of this very hip performance art magazine, and she she discovered Frank. I mean, it was kind of like, you know, we'd been doing it for like 15 years when she discovered him. But it was when the group that we were doing the punk show with mm-hmm. broke up. Frank was trying, well, how can I, you know, meet other people that, you know, the arts and everything. So he signed up to go to the San Francisco Art Institute to get a master's degree at the OU Outsider AG, the outsider again. Well, I mean, it was a nightmare, you know. I mean, they, you know, a lot of the people seemed to know about the show that we had done. And, yeah, basically they were jealous, I think. But, you know, they kind of laid a whole number about how uncool it was to be that popular. And also the thing was, Frank came in there kind of like this, you know, and he'd just have an idea and he'd try it. Most of them were like drank a lot of beer and like angsted over their art and their idea, but they didn't do much because they were afraid it would fail.
Exactly.
Because Frank like just did it, and if it like failed, he just did another thing. You know, he didn't like take it personal. He didn't love. And so people had a real hard time with that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Frank would say something in a class and they would ignore that he was talking. I mean, even the teachers, everybody, they were so uptight by Frank. It was a 2-year program.
Man.
And I mean, I had a hard time. Frank was like, you know, and it's like, it was just terrible. And so we go through the 2 years, and the last semester of the last year, they had a guest teacher, and it's this woman, this big time. But the thing was, when we went to the school, we didn't know what we were doing was called performance art, and that it was like, you know, had a history. We just thought of it was just this weird stuff Frank was thinking up, you know. And so we went for the video department, but the video department was / performance art.
Okay.
So all of a sudden, we're finding out about this whole performance art thing that we didn't know anything about. They're showing us videotapes of all these people doing all this stuff, you know, for decades. And like, wow, you know, and similar to the stuff we were doing. And they would see us as being part of like this line. And, you know, it's like, whoa, you know. So we didn't know any of that. So we didn't know what to be impressed by. Like when she came into the class and she was this big time publisher for this big time performance art magazine, we never heard of the magazine. You know, we didn't know anything about this. But she came right up to Frank, you know, because she's like, oh, he's the guy, you know. So she befriended us, and she did some private performances with Frank at our home studio. And she invited all of her, like, famous performance art friends up from L.A. and introduced them all to Frank, you know, and brought him over, you know. And so, and then she puts Frank on the cover of the magazine, which, like, even the teachers were like, how did he do that, you know. And so that was Frank said that was his revenge. But so, you know, Frank is like her big discovery. But of course, he doesn't like do the good crip thing, which is kind of a thing. So through this whole meeting all these people, he gets invited to this big show in L.A. where it was all these famous performance artists showing their like static art that aren't, they're not known for that, but it's like this big show in this big old hotel ballroom, and Frank was the only performance art event of the night. And so this was like a really big deal. Again, it was like, you know, we really didn't know to be that impressed, but yeah, I can see it now. So he does this piece that's like 45 minutes, and everybody was like, wow, it was so great. When are you coming back? The only criticism was that it was a little long. And so right away, Frank, you know, scrambles to come back. And this time he does like a 5-hour performance, you know. So like all those people like that raved about how wonderful he was. Of course, none of them show up for this performance. So this woman, the big deal woman, Linda, just like circumstance was such, she like was our buddy, you know. Anytime she was in the San Francisco Bay Area, we'd get together and have like breakfast at a restaurant and talk, and very supportive of everything Frank did. And if we were ever in L.A., we'd get together and da da da. But it never worked out for her to come to a performance after that one big event. Just like she wasn't in town or something like this. So finally we're going to be in L.A. and she's going to be in town. She's, I'm definitely going to be there. And we saw her like a week before that when she was up here for breakfast. And she didn't show up. And, you know, wow. We didn't really think much of it. Because a lot of times that would happen. You know, people that are like more your friends don't come to the performances. So we didn't think much of it. Then we get this like Dear John poison pen letter from her, you know, a week later. That three pages. Oh my God, you think that letter was heavy? Oh, she just really laid into us. Like really, really, really. All of the problems you have in the art scene, because she would always support us. Like if, you know, people would have want to censor Frank or anything, she'd like be like right there, you know, how dare them and da, 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 da. All of a sudden it's like when faced with the possibility of actually coming to your performance, all of a sudden I could see, you know, all these things that people are complaining about you is legitimate, you know, because in fact, I didn't feel comfortable coming to your performance. You use your crip thing to get what you want. And you bring everything on yourself. All the stuff, shit you get from people, it's all your own fault. You don't accept no for an answer. Oh, she just went on and on and on and on and on. I mean, it was just brutal. And then at the end, she says, I know you're going to want to flash me back a reply, you know, and argue all my points. She said, but I love you both very much. And if you want to stay friends with me, you better not write back to this letter.
Wow. So she's ready to argue.
So what does Frank do? He has me read this letter onto a tape. Mm-hmm. And he creates an endless loop, but he doesn't put her name on it. But anybody in the art world knew who she was. She's like a famous big deal person. And around that time, we were touring the country. And people would have to wait like in the lobby for like hours sometimes, because Frank had this thing where people would get let in one by one. And some, if there was a crowd, it would take a long time. And they'd have to listen to this letter over and over and over again for hours. And, you know, people would always guess who it was. And so that's the way he dealt with her letter. And we never wrote her back.
Are you guys still cool with her?
Not really. We never talked to her again.
Wow.
No. But she did. She showed up like 5-8 years ago, like when you were having a talk with somebody else, I think, and she kind of made a comment about it. She made a comment, but it was like criticizing you again, I think. And in C... L. Oh, in Cleveland. What happened with that? Their magazine wrote an article. She said she S-I-S-U. Oh, she was she one of the people that selected? No, she supported you during the whole censorship controversy. Oh, wow. I forgot about that. Right, yeah, but that they do that, but they do that, what support you when it's a distant thing. Like she supported Frank not being censored in some other situation where she wasn't going to have anything to do with it. Like they voted for me when it when it is not at their space. Yeah, there's so many stories. I mean, you know, where people that book things that like have their own venue or something.
Mm-hmm.
This happened one, like, you know, the guy in New York, even though all these different people said you should book Frank, and then he was a guest curator for a festival.
Mm-hmm.
And right away it's like, oh, we should have Frank Moore at this festival. And when somebody mm-hmm. told us that he was the person that would, you know, that had, was one of the people. And our friend, Annie, called him on it and said, why won't you book Frank in your club? And yet you were such a loud supporter of him being part of this
mm-hmm.
festival.
Mm-hmm.
He said, because I'm personally uncomfortable with the work that Frank does, but I think what he's doing is important.
Hmm.
So we get a lot of that.
That's the thing you was talking about, outcast, outsider.
Yes.
Of everything, yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I kind of feel like people are mad right now at me because I still get booked for shows. So they'll say from afar, I'm a big fan of Kenny J's work, but they never book me.
Right.
But then somebody else booked me and they kind of be pissed off about it, like, damn, he's doing another show. What's going on? We can't stop this guy. This is out of control.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Frank will say is, I keep popping up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I call them love haters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, those are the love haters.
Yes. A. L. O. A lot of. There's a lot of them.
Mm-hmm. Preaching to the choir, my brother.
What? That you want me to read this? Okay, so we just we had two trips to Los Angeles like in a month, and the last one we did, which was a few weeks ago, H A hard T R. Oh, it's a hard trip. Yeah, I mean, we've done the L.A. thing for, you know, decades, and it's always been smooth. As we had car trouble going there. We had car trouble coming back.
Oh, man.
It was just a nightmare. It was a nightmare. We didn't even make it home on the way back. We had to, Mikey's back went out the day of the performance, and it was like, you know, we totally count on, you know, it's like four of us. We had like, it was just a nightmare. And it cost us a lot of money because our transmission went out. Our tire blew out and destroyed the car. I mean, it was just like a nightmare.
Oh, man.
And yet the actual performance part of it was amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, so we decided it was all worth it. But it was like this annual performance marathon, Hollywood annual performance marathon. And we performed there once before. And it goes like from 2 in the afternoon to like 4 in the morning. It's mm-hmm. like, you know, 10, 20 minute acts. And we had a half hour, you know, because Frank usually does at least an hour. So they, okay, you could have a half hour. So, and it's, you know, it's packed and it's people don't know what they're going to get, and we definitely stand out. It's Frank does his band, which is, you know, he has these amazing musicians mm-hmm. in L.A. And then it's Frank and Jen and I are dancing. Well, you saw the thing we do. So we're nude and dancing erotically and singing. And in this case, he had us going out into the audience. He had tried to get a plant, which would be someone who was in the audience but was really part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And the role would be that she would be real straight, but she'd be pulled up, you know, when he had us get people from the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd get so just, like, inspired and turned on by the whole thing that she'd take her clothes off and just start being, you know, doing what we're doing. So he couldn't get anybody. He actually had one person that said yes, but she couldn't get off work. So we do the show. We don't have a plant, and but he has us. You know, you never know what Frank's going to do. We'd have no idea. It's like in the middle of the performance, he'll call me over and he'll give me instructions. Which, you know, he says, "Go get the audience and bring them up here." You know, he doesn't say to do what. You know, he says just do that. So, and then Jen and I are going out, and we're. And, you know, some of the audience said no, but, you know, enough of them just, yeah, you know, and came up. This one woman who looked a whole lot like the woman who wanted to do it but couldn't get off from work. And with the strobe lights and the slides, Frank thought it was her. He thought it was her. Because she's, like, sitting on his lap and she's dancing and she's, she told him, she whispered to him, "I came to this event just for you, Frank. You know, you were the one I came to see." And then at some point he says, "Undress her," to Jen and I. And so we just start undressing her, and she lets us undress her. And the audience is like, yeah, you know, and it's just like this whole, and it was really an amazing, just an amazing performance. And so, and, you know, everybody was, you know, all the band members and everything. So, and then we come home, and Frank gets this email from an audience person named Chuck. "Dear Frank, my name is Chuck Kaufman. My girlfriend and I came out to support the Theater of Notes all-night fundraiser. We attended an art opening in Silver Lake and then had sushi in West Hollywood. Between us, we had just enough money to see Adler's Appetite, a great rock show at the Key Club, or go and support the Theater of Note and live theater. Honestly, I wanted to rock out to some metal. But we ended up choosing Theater of Note and settled into an overpacked theater after laying down our $40. We saw the Anti-Jesus piece. That was okay. I wasn't overly impressed. Then a very funny guy came out and did a spoken word rant, which was intelligent and funny. That was cool. The lights came up. We moved to better seats and settled in for the next skit. The lights went down and it was the Frank Moore performance. Honestly, Frank, your performance is the single most revolting and nauseating live performance I've ever witnessed."
Wow.
"It was a scarring experience. I'm better now. My girlfriend, having been exposed to multiple theater performance, etc., and experimental shit, and therefore was not as affected as me. I did not know who you were. I did not know or understand that the guy in the wheelchair was Frank Moore. Your cast put the mic on you. I realized it was you. I made it through the gig. Quite a few did not and had to excuse themselves. The next morning, I thought about my experience and your performance and concluded that your confinement and situation has not trapped your ability to communicate and to create. I applaud that. What must be a glimpse into your soul and mind frightened and sickened me. I applaud your ability and gumption in getting it out there, making it happen. However, a mind as crisp as yours managed to disgust me and turn me off, not on. I'm glad I experienced a glimpse into the mind of Frank Moore, but saddened it was not much to see and little, if any, inspiration for anything to me. What art did you exhibit? It's a free country, man, but come on." "But he is writing, but he took the time to sit down and write this letter." "And F O found my website." Yeah, he says, "I dig your website. I dig the underground anti-corporate thing. Maybe Lover will inspire me some way. Maybe some good will come from having subjected myself to your, quote, performance. I hope so. I busted my ass for that $40. Sincerely, Chuck Kaufman." So Frank said, "Thanks, Chuck, for writing your response to my piece. We artists live for such letters, especially when the reactions to the art is so intense and powerful as yours. It means the art is working. I sympathize with you about spending your hard-earned money, even though the note is a worthy cause, and missing the metal show to boot. Doing the show cost me several $1,000s. We live in Berkeley. On the way down, our transmission crapped out, and on the way back, the tire exploded, blowing a hole in the car's body. That is over the normal cost of travel, hotel, food, etc. I like how you are aware that you are continuing to work through my piece, and that the piece is continuing to work inside of you. I have had people who hated my performance right after who have come back years later and say the performance had a profound and positive effect in on their lives. That is how art works. So hang in there. What exactly made it revolting and nauseating and scarring and disgusting? In what ways? I'm glad you checked out the websites. So he wrote back, "Hey, Frank, thanks for your reply. I appreciate that. I knew when your associates wheeled you out that the piece wasn't going to be mundane performance. They put a mic on you, but you couldn't communicate the way I am used to being communicated with. I had a flood of thoughts, emotions, compassion, sadness, empathy, and when the projector started and the nude older dancers began their lap dances and the movements of your arms, head, and face, it hit me. I felt sick. It was too much. A writhing contortion of nudity, eroticism, combined with a man confined to a wheelchair, your body movements, head, face, and arms and hands, and your groans and sounds. That brought on the nausea. I had to look away at the wall occasionally to keep it together. I was revolted because I didn't understand it, and it was making me feel physically and emotionally sick. Scarring was too much of a word. Girlfriend says I live in a world of hyperbole, so I exaggerate sometimes. It was a very strong piece. Yes, I am trying to work through it. I really appreciate you writing me back. Thank you, Chuck. So, Frank said, Chuck, I like how the performance is continuing through these emails, but don't get in a dark alley with Linda and Jen, those older women. So, why did you see nude older dancers dancing erotically with On Me evoke such powerful reactions in you? So why did seeing nude older dancers dancing erotically with me evoke such powerful reactions in you? Quote, I felt sick, brought on the nausea. I had to look at the wall occasionally to keep it together. I was revolted because I didn't understand it was making me feel physically and emotionally sick. Unquote. Was it my voice? What if the wheelchair was just a prop? Was it because the dancers were, quote, older? Would it be different if the dancers were younger? What does your girlfriend think of your reactions? What did you think of the woman from the audience who danced with me? Was she older? How old are you? Funny, for decades I got shit for cute younger women around me. I also have gotten shit for having strong women around me, as if it was a fetish of mine. And now it's, quote, older women. They are the same girls. Linda has been with me for about 30 years. Jen has been in my work since 2001. Actually, to me, they are, quote, younger women because I'm older. It's relative. It appears my work has started addressing issues of ageism. About time. So, and then the next thing is from other people. So Frank is sending all this out to his list. So, you know, there's a whole lot of people on this list. So the one reaction he got was from Steve, who is in a noise band himself. Mm-hmm. You? Oh, he was at the performance that you came to.
Oh, the Steve Davis. the guy that plays the guitar, right?
Yeah, yes, mm-hmm. yes. So he's like pretty hardcore. He never misses anything when we're in L.A., but he got real sick, so he couldn't come to this one. This is like a last-minute thing. So he's reading all this, the thing he missed. Fucking fuck my fucking ass, Frank. I was sick as fuck, but now am sad as shit for not dragging myself there to help ruin that idiot's night. I guess you've heard it all, huh? I know I have, doing my band Dog. I love you even more, if that's possible. Let's see. Can I email that guy and thank him or just let it go? So Frank wrote back, I love you too, Steve. Yep, you missed an opportunity to expand the fragile world of this guy and of those whom he represents. But don't blast him yet. He offers a rare peek into how the art works, what pushes what buttons, etc. He is willing, able to enter into dialogue about his responses to the work and how they are evolving over time. Most are not willing or able, so I want to pump him and do some educating. So, and then Steve wrote back, hi, yeah. It's not worth it to point out that he's an idiot. I really, quote, enjoyed his email, though. And then the other, he got another reply from, again, somebody on the list. And this is John the Baker, who you also met. Mm-hmm. At him and Frank did some songs together mm-hmm. at that thing. So John quotes from the letter, I'm glad I experienced a glimpse into the mind of Frank Moore, but saddened it was not much to see and little, if any, inspiration for anything to me. What art did you exhibit? It's a free country man, but come on. So this is John now. When someone reacts like this to your artistic expression, it is art. It's like a tree falling in the forest. This time we are certain that someone was there, and they did hear the tree fall. It doesn't matter that the tree fell so close to the guy that it scarred him. It fell, it was heard, and a reaction to it was a result. A deepening process ensued, and the guy, one way or another, will be different, changed, because of it. I know, because I was one of those guys who was scared of Frank and his performance, and I still stand by him 10 years later. If you think about it, have you ever wanted to get a girl's clothes off but just couldn't think of the right words to say? Well, think about how hard that is for Frank. He can't form words. If that is not inspiring enough, for how many centuries have painters painted nudes? Well, this is a different kind of nude. Watch the performance on your computer and let the colors and bodies blend together and see the collage of brilliance swirling, bending, blending, and spilling. If the great painters of years ago saw what Frank is doing, they would all sit at his feet. J. O. John. O. Drove. When we met John in North Carolina when we were doing a music festival, mm-hmm. he was like performing, and then we were going to do two things, two performances. And the first night, he was the performer, and we just loved him. And then we ended up sitting out on the sidewalk like most of the night for hours just talking to him. And he didn't come to either of the performances, but we didn't notice because it was, you know, there was a lot of people there. But when we got home, he sent Frank an email where he... kind of a confessional, where he said he was so freaked out at the thought of having to come to one of Frank's performances that he got in his car and drove like hundreds of miles away from the site until he realized, what am I doing? This is ridiculous. He still didn't come. But he, you know, he wanted Frank to know that that's how, what a powerful effect just the thought of coming to Frank's performance had on him. But we've, you know, as you see, he ended up moving here basically because of us mm-hmm. and, you know, has been performing with us ever since. So that's his story. And then he says, as a punk rocker, I am always trying to find ways to get people to leave or feel disgusted or piss them off. I want people to break out of their shells, open up to alternatives, and loosen the shackles of society. Frank did that to me without hardly trying. He is a natural punk. My two cents. So Frank said, ah, yes. His writing his email in itself refutes that he didn't get much anything from the piece. You and I, and most of us on the E-Salon, do culturally subversive art, not Hallmark art. We live for such strong reactions, responses, not for polite clapping of liking. What you say means a lot to me. Visually and musically, what the jams evoke are amazing, which have less to do with me than the combination of people coming together in the work. And then I add my advanced punk tools. And then, let's see, this was... Mark. Hi, Frank. I was reading Steve's post. That's, you know, Steve. Fuck. And I wanted to present a different position. Not to be an apologist for the guy that had a physical reaction to your performance, but we are all wired a bit differently, and where some people would be curious, fascinated, or aroused, others could be threatened, overwhelmed, and challenged. I think he may have gotten more from your performance than a person that is more tolerant / jaded, where it might just be another event in their field of vision. His response has given us a lot to chew on in the salon. I applaud him for his willingness to share his reaction. He did not have to step up and share his feelings. Thanks again for providing a forum for these discussions. And then Frank said, I agree. And his response isn't a dead end, like it was polarizing is. His response, well, that was because the few weeks before that when we went to L.A., it was at this, like, really hip underground alternative art venue. And, I mean, we thought the performance was great. I mean, it seemed like people really, like, just soaked it in, and it was just wonderful. And when it was over, the two, like, D-O, dog, like when Steve's band Dog played before us, half the audience went out and stood on the sidewalk and watched through the storefront window because it was so intense. You know, they couldn't, like, because, you know, Steve had these two, like, big sumo wrestler dudes, you know, naked from the chest up, like, just screaming at the top of their lungs. And, you know, but it was just, like, very intense. So, you know, people left for that. And for ours, they were in there, and it seemed like, you know, it was just was great. And so when it was over, Frank said to the two guys who run it, he said, I love performing here. He said, I'd love, would you be open to me coming back and doing something a little longer? Because he did like 45 minutes. And they said, longer than 45 minutes? You know? So I'm thinking, like, what did you say, like 12 hours or something like that. So he had written to them when we got back and proposed an idea. And they said that the performance that he did there was liberating but polarizing. And so Frank said, which poles?
Exactly.
And never heard from him again. That was the last we ever heard from him. So that's his reference. He's saying his response isn't a dead end, like it was polarizing, you know, like, and that's all. His responses, if followed through, will lead to insights for all of us, which is why I hope he will write back. He is innocent, faced with being transported beyond the normal boxes during the jam, boxes that cripple and limit. That is what caused the physical reactions. He tried to pin the reactions on the nude crip groaning and the older women naked. But when he starts trying to get his head around it, the nude crip and the older women fade away as excuses / causes, leading him into an expanding reality. This is what jaded art crowds can avoid. And let's see, the last thing is the, well, actually, Rain Dog. He said, what impresses me most is how you gently ease this guy into your mindset. He obviously is intelligent, or it would have never gotten past the first email exchange. But you didn't just let him stay on his side, the safe side. No, you cajoled him into experimenting with the idea, a first step in my view. And through your own wit and intelligence and gentle nature, persuaded him that what he was repulsed by was inside himself. Many of my so-called enlightened friends couldn't do that. It's a special gift, and I applaud you for it. And Frank said, I think that's a part of the performance. So it is a part of my job as an artist. What most people think of as the performance is in reality a middle part of the actual performance. Yes, Chuck offers a rare opportunity to directly explore the dynamics, the issues, etc. Hopefully he will write back and continue the dialogue. Most people don't. After the December LA performance, the people who run the gallery wrote that the piece was liberating, a positive, but polarizing, which obviously wasn't what they wanted. But when I asked which poles, trying to get a deeper picture of what they were talking about for both them and me, they didn't write back. Chuck has a certain innocence. And then there's Raphael piece. C. H. Chuck. W. R. Wrote. Back. N. O. Now, he likes the B band, right?
It just took a little minute for him to think about everything. It made me do songs, but, you know. Well, turned on too, but, you know, because I think Jen is so hot. But anyways, moving along.
B, H E Hey. I am doing Oakland series.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. Starts cool. on Saturday. First one is on Saturday.
Cool.
If you
I know where this is.
Need M I M O more S O. If you need more songs, you can come to that and be inspired to write more music.
Wow. Cool. Hold on to this. I know exactly where this is.
Do you P L A play any instruments?
I started, I don't play as many instruments these days, but I started off playing piano by ear and acoustic guitar by ear. But now I have so many people working on my production for me, I don't have to do that. I could just focus on my writing, which it probably ultimately got me better, I think.
Do you want, do you have a guitar?
Oh, not currently, not anymore, no.
You, if we be brought a guitar or a keyboard, would you play it?
Possibly, yeah. I would be into some keyboard.
We can do that.
I'd be into that.
N O now I need to P I piss.
Uh oh.
We're just over 2 hours. So are we gonna wrap it up then? Okay.
Cool. Yeah. I see you here, Socket. Cool.
So that would be it. Do you want to say who you are for everybody?
I'm the guy that they used to call Kenny J, the Total Package, and now the Archives. Almost Famous in Stores, Ghetto USA is coming end of the year, Glitch album is coming. Next performance, February 18th, Dava, San Francisco, Valencia 16th. Peace.
No. 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 D. A. Da. Artist. A. W. I. With. With a Z. Okay. Good night, everybody.